Welcome to Reductio. I'm your host, Andrew Lavin. Reductio is a podcast about philosophy, about ideas, and about understanding ourselves and our world more clearly. Brought to you by Inverted Spectrum Media. So just a quick warning, I'll usually try to make episodes family-friendly, but this episode involves a lot of violence and discussion of death, sort of out of necessity. So it's probably best to skip this one while little ones are listening. And who said philosophy wasn't exciting? To start off today's episode, we're going to try a little experiment. It's called a thought experiment. We use these in philosophy all the time. So here's a scenario.
The trolley driver. You're driving a trolley through the hills just outside of the city. As you round a bend, you see up ahead 5 people working on the track. The track is in a steep valley now, and the sides of the trolley are hemmed in. The workers cannot escape. You have to stop the trolley to avoid killing them. But as you step on the brakes, you find they don't work. Luckily, you see up ahead, between you and the workers, a spur of track leading to the right. You can turn the trolley onto it and save the workers. But as you get closer to the junction, you realize that one worker is alone on the side track. He can't get off the track in time either. So by turning the trolley, you will kill him.
Okay, so what's going on here? Imagine, along with me, that you found yourself at the helm of a train or a trolley. You round a bend in the hills, and somehow the track maintenance team wasn't coordinating properly with traffic control, and they're doing repairs on a piece of track that you're about to run over. So they can't escape, the sides of the canyon are too steep, your brakes don't work, and there's no other emergency measure, so it's a bad situation. Good news, though, there's a junction up ahead, and you can turn the trolley away from these workers, saving their lives and going home a hero. However, it looks like they're doing repairs on both of these tracks, and if you turn that trolley, you'd be killing one worker who's stuck on the side track. So turn right, you save 5 by killing one, and if you just go straight, then you'd save 1, but you'd kill the 5. So it's a lose-lose situation. Decisions, decisions. What should we do? In May of 1985, Judith Jarvis Thompson published an essay called The Trolley Problem. In it, she credits fellow philosopher Philippa Foot for at least drawing attention to the problem, if not devising it herself, about 10 years earlier in 1978. Most people now credit Philippa Foot with coming up with the trolley problem. So the question before us today is it morally permissible, is it okay to turn the trolley onto the track with just one worker on it, thus sparing 5 lives? So I asked some friends to give their assessment. Most of them understood that I had them stuck in a true dilemma, where there are only 2 choices.
I get the impression that I don't have a whole lot of time to think about it, but I would still argue that no matter what, I'm still going to try and find a way to save that person.
I'm trying to think about medicine. If I had medicine and I were to, you know, I could either save one person or I could save 5.
I don't know. There's so many variables to that question. It's like, is the one guy really important and powerful and strong and strong and whatever? And the other 5, maybe they're just not as good. It's like, do you kill one person to preserve the herd?
But one of my friends couldn't let go of the idea that he might be able to weasel his way out of making the hard choice here.
You ask a very, very good question. Well, I would look around me on the trolley. I would realize that I'm the only one on the trolley, but the last person on the trolley left a bowling ball bag with a giant bowling ball in it. And because we're on a trolley, I think there's some kind of tracks or something. And I would use the bowling ball. I would throw it as hard as I can in front of the trolley, and we would hit it and we'd derail. And then we wouldn't kill anyone.
You have like 5 seconds to make this decision. It's just turn.
And I can't do a really sharp turn and try and derail the whole trolley altogether.
All the turning does is just change the tracks. You're just pushing a button to change
tracks. Are the workers inside of a pit? Is there a chance that we could just go over the top of their heads?
Nope.
Well, it depends. Because if I like the one person more, then I would probably turn to the right. And if I like, if
don't,
I didn't like the one
don't
person,
worry
then
about
I...
whether you like people. You're just a trolley, and then there are strangers on the track.
Or are the strangers young or old?
All of them are exactly 30 years old.
Do some of them have kids?
All of them have kids.
Well, you're a terrible scenario. It's a terrible scenario. Does the trolley go in reverse?
5 seconds. 5, 4.
Oh! I would turn, and then I would adopt the kid that has just lost whatever individual was hit by the trolley.
Okay.
And I'd tell him that a giant eagle swooped in and attacked, and that's what happened. It would be a heroic story.
So you would kill him, and then you would lie about his death to his child.
Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's a good answer. Okay.
Well, I would probably not lie. Are there any animals? Is there a chance if I were to throw some kind of food in front that the animals might come jump in front? And they would have to sacrifice themselves, but it would be for a noble cause.
You have 5 seconds.
That's a really difficult question because it's a lose-lose.
Yeah, that's the point. This whole interview is going to be a series of lose-lose scenarios.
Now, did publishing this paper heal the world of any of its many ills? No, probably not. Did it influence world leaders to behave differently in relation to one another? Well, probably not. Did it inspire a hilarious episode of NBC's The Good Place? Yeah, absolutely. But that's not the point of doing philosophy. This puzzle, instead, helps us do 2 things. First, it helps us understand the way we as a species, in fact, reason about morality and about ethical dilemmas. That is, it helps us understand our moral psychology more clearly. And second, it helps us clarify our ethical theories, our best attempts at saying how we ought to decide whether an action is right or wrong, permissible or impermissible, or required or merely praiseworthy. So this puzzle's been discussed many times on podcasts like Radiolab. It's also been on TV shows, as I just mentioned, on NBC's The Good Place, and recently in countless media outlets wondering about how we should program autonomous vehicles. Because in rare circumstances, a self-driving car may have to make a split-second decision between driving off a cliff or into a concrete meridian and hitting a crosswalk full of people. So you might think philosophy doesn't do anything practical, but deciding how self-driving cars should be programmed is about as practical as it gets. But I digress. The reason I want to take a second to discuss this today is twofold. So A, this is about as clear a case as they come of what the process of doing philosophy looks like in the real world. And B, there are many layers to this problem that I want to explore that haven't really been touched on in a lot of public media. Okay, so back to the original puzzle. Is it okay, or perhaps even morally required, to turn the trolley, thus killing only one person instead of 5? So what do you all think?
I think I have to take the one death over the 5.
I'll take out the one guy. I'll leave those other guys. I don't know him, but I'll make the hard decision.
Clear Vulcan logic.
Right.
Oh, I think that's instinctually, I don't think you even think about that. If you don't have a choice, there's no way I can avoid it. I'm going to do the least amount of damage, and I'm gonna turn it to the one.
I don't know. I guess since this is a lose-lose situation, I'll just go for the one guy. Why not?
I, as of right now, I believe that I would turn and kill the one and save the 5.
Okay, so most people seem to agree that we shouldn't turn the trolley, and at a minimum that we're allowed to turn the trolley. So Thompson writes, "But everyone says it's true, at a minimum, that you may turn it, that it would not be morally wrong in you to do so." Okay, so she thinks it's okay for you to turn the trolley. She doesn't yet take a stand on whether you must turn the trolley, but at a minimum, she thinks it's morally permitted. Now, here's where the philosophy starts. What is the rule that you used to decide that it was okay to turn the trolley? In other words, was there an abstract principle which led you to make the decision you did in the trolley problem? Simply put, why did you make the decision you did?
Well, I'm picturing the families of all those people, and I'm picturing the family of the one person, and I'm considering the impact that it would have. So, yeah, That's my reasoning.
I want to minimize the damage. This is horrible. This shouldn't have happened. And you don't have time to rationalize that. You're going to, in that case, it's just like when you're driving a car, you're going to do, and you realize you're going to hit something. You're going to minimize the damage as much as possible. And you're going to, without even thinking about it, there's less people over there.
Since they're all just equal people, and there's nothing more special to this scenario. It's just it's kind of preserving the herd over one guy type scenario, I guess.
Because it would leave only one kid without a parent versus the other five.
Sacrifice one person for the sake of the many.
You know, I could either save one person or I could save five. Then saving the five would be better than saving the one. Or saving four more people than otherwise would have been for this one guy, for me, is morally virtuous or morally good.
So the fairly clear consensus here is something like, we should save five lives if doing so only costs one life. Here's the second case, again featured in that episode of NBC's The Good Place.
The Surgeon. You're a surgeon with five transplant patients who will certainly die soon if they don't get their transplants, and they're all low on the transplant list. There's another patient in to get her wisdom teeth removed, but she's otherwise totally healthy. You check and find that she's a perfect match for all five patients, so you could remove her vital organs and save the lives of five people while sacrificing just one life.
So you're the surgeon, and you're in charge of deciding what happens here.
I don't think I like where you're going with this scenario.
You're not supposed to.
You're a bad person.
One healthy person, five unhealthy people in desperate need of organ transplants. Who lives and who dies?
No.
Okay, so you wouldn't kill her?
No.
No, I don't think that you can arbitrarily make a decision to take the one person's life in that case.
Yeah, no. That ain't gonna happen. That's just not going to happen.
I wouldn't kill the one girl.
Would I take the healthy person's organs and they were in for some other surgery? No, I wouldn't.
I would not kill her, and I would take her wisdom teeth out, and I would allow the other five to die.
Okay. So it seems like you can't cut up a healthy person to save five organ transplant patients.
No.
Okay, so here's a different case. Let's see if we get basically the same result.
The bridge. Again, the trolley is barreling toward five workers who can't escape. But instead of driving the trolley, you are on a bridge over the track. Now, you aren't massive enough to stop the trolley by yourself just by jumping in front of it, so that's not an option. But you look over, and you see a person dangling their legs off the side of the bridge. They are a hulk of a person. Just massive. In fact, they're big enough to stop the trolley if they were to fall onto the track.
So this case is a lot like the original trolley case, in that we still got a trolley or a train heading straight for five workers stuck on a track. But this time we don't have a sidetrack. Instead, we have the option of pushing someone off of a bridge and halting the trolley using their bulk as a dead weight. Again, we'd be saving five lives by killing one person. But the bridge case feels more like the surgeon case than like the original trolley driver case. So what do you all think? Should we push this person off of the bridge?
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't think that I can arbitrarily decide to push the guy off the bridge. He's just sitting there.
Well, I'm not ever going to push someone in front of a trolley. I'd probably push them off the bridge.
You would push them off?
Into the water so they would be safe.
No. I can't. That's actively killing someone. It's much different to sacrifice my own life than to force someone to sacrifice theirs, to make a mental or a moral choice that person's next to me life is more important or less important than those other five. I can't do that. I can't. That's killing.
I would not, because that would feel like murder.
I think the moral of the story is don't push people off bridges and don't give me decisions like this.
Why not? What gives? It seems like we were ready to end one life in order to save five in the trolley case, but we weren't ready to do it in the surgeon case or in the bridge case. So what's the difference between these two cases?
I think because the decision's already been made, in my own opinion, through my faith, I would say that the decision has been made that these five are going to die. Whereas the trolley case, I feel like maybe I'm on the wrong track. Mm-hmm. Maybe this was something that I caused by being there in the first place.
When I'm on the trolley, like, I'm part of the object that's going to kill them. And I have control over it.
Right. I feel like in the trolley case, I would be responsible for doing the killing, whereas in the case of the people whose organs were failing, that wasn't my cause. I didn't cause this to happen.
Because you're placing a value judgment of, she's healthy. She's alive. For me to do that, I have to kill her, which is just not something I'm going to do.
There's a little bit more of a inhuman act in pushing someone in front of, from directly causing someone harm, than there is in merely changing the course of events to have less casualties.
There could be a moment of like, well, you know, the greater good, but that's not why I decided. That's not what I'm here to do.
And I partially think that part of the hazard of working on the train is that, or working on a track, like I imagine that they understand that there's an element of risk.
Right, exactly. It's not, I'm choosing to, and you can argue it both times, I'm choosing to value life. That's the choice. I'm choosing not to kill, I value life. And I value life by not pushing, or by value life by... You could say I'm choosing to kill one by controlling it, but I would say I'm choosing to kill a minimum.
Different for me is that this pedestrian had no agreement. He had no understanding about what's going on. He's like a pawn, and I'm the chess master. The only thing that I have is I have to treat this guy as though I would want to be treated, and I would not want to be pushed over against my will to be killed by a trolley to save people that I don't know. And removing somebody's organs when... they are unaware of that. So you're murdering them, even though you have a white lab coat on.
Okay, so it seems like at this point in the analysis, we can say that we're ready to make decisions according to the following principles.
Killing one is worse than letting five die.
Which gives us the right result in the surgeon case, where we said it was better to let five people die from organ failure than to actively kill one person in order to save them. And the second principle is
killing five is worse than killing one,
which leads us to make the right decision in the trolley case, in which we're driving over five and thus killing them, or driving over one and killing them instead. We're killing someone either way. There's no letting die in the case, so it seems. And this is exactly what Philippa Foot does in her original paper. She argues that the surgeon case is a case where we face the choice of killing one versus letting five die. Alternatively, the original trolley case is a case of killing one instead of killing five. So do you think there's a difference between killing and merely letting die?
I do, personally. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's a difference. I think the difference might be... There's something about, like, me being, like, the instrument of someone's death, versus me being like a guiding hand towards someone's death, where the trolley is killing the person. There's that little buffer. Like, that's the emotional barrier that makes me capable of that. But people accuse me of being a robot sometimes, but I've got enough emotion there that I don't think I could push someone.
Well, that's the thing in law is when they're trying to figure out, duty, like... or who's responsible for what, they'll say, but not for blank happening, this would not have happened. And so, but not for me grabbing a gun or drinking and driving or doing something, Tom would still be alive. And then on the other hand, which is, but not for, someone else driving, they would still be alive. I could have been there, I could have not been there, but ultimately the person still would have been run over without me. Yeah, morally, especially as a future pastor, if someone were to come to me and say, this is, you know, say I'm a Catholic priest, and they came to me and said, hey, I've committed murder. And I said, oh my gosh, what happened? And they said, I was walking down the sidewalk and someone got ran over right next to me. You know, I'd be like, well, that's not murder.
Okay, so let's pause and think about what we've done so far. The trolley problem is supposed to be a case where we're either killing one by driving over them with the trolley or killing five by driving over them with the trolley. So Foote thinks that both options are cases of killing rather than letting die. Foote also thinks that the surgeon case is one where we're faced with killing a healthy patient or not intervening to save some patients who would die on their own. You can hopefully see the intuition here. So far, Foote has solved the problem. Originally, it seemed like the surgeon case and the trolley case had to be given the same analysis, and so we had to do the same thing in both cases. But we don't want to do the same thing in both cases. We want to keep the healthy patient alive. We don't want to be killing them and harvesting their organs. But we still want to turn the trolley and kill the one worker on the sidetrack to save the five. So Foote has given us a way out of this problem by giving a more sophisticated analysis of the two cases, by introducing the distinction between killing and merely letting die. So we can rest easy, right? Maybe go to the beach, relax, confident that our moral principles are consistent. Not so fast. Here's where Thompson comes in. Remember, she's the author of the paper we started with. She throws a proverbial wrench in our spokes by changing the trolley case slightly so that instead of driving the trolley, in which case it felt like we'd be killing someone either way, we'd instead be standing on the sidelines and intervening in the situation from outside.
The bystander. You're hiking through the hills and come upon the train tracks to see a runaway trolley headed for the junction nearby. Beyond the junction are five workers who will die if you do nothing. Nearby, though, there's a lever that will switch the tracks at the junction, thus turning the trolley away from the five workers onto a sidetrack. Again, though, you see that there's one person on the side track that will die if you intervene. If you choose to intervene, one worker dies. If you choose not to, though, five people will meet a violent end.
How does this reintroduce the original problem? According to Thompson, in Bystander at the Switch, we do nothing and so can't be harming anyone if we fail to intervene or simply choose not to. We at least have the option of keeping our hands clean. Well, morally speaking, at least. Ew. So, does that seem right? Does it seem like you're not killing people if you don't intervene?
Yeah, I guess there's something different about that scenario.
I think it should feel like that. But in the case of being the bystander, I think I'd flip the switch. Mm-hmm. I think, once again, I'm picturing those families of the five versus the families of the one.
Again, I guess I would just sacrifice one for the needs of the many.
I don't see much difference between whether I'm on the train or whether I'm not. I'm still making the decision which track it goes. So I would rather kill and minimize one than five. But whether I'm on the train or on the side of the train, I still have that same choice. Ultimately, I'm going to make the same one. Although I think by being off it, I think I have more options available.
My initial reaction that I'm thinking would be the right thing to do right now is to run over as fast as I could. And then to pull the pull the lever, have it switch over to the side rail, and then have it be to the one person.
As Thompson puts it,
if the bystander does not throw the switch, he drives no trolley into anybody, and he kills nobody.
When you're the driver, though, things are a bit different. It seems like you're doing the harm either way. You're stuck. I mean, think about driving a car. If you hit someone, it feels like you're killing them in some way if you are at the wheel. So, taking stock, our original principle, killing one is worse than letting five die, gave us the right outcome in the surgeon case, but now fails us, since by throwing the switch as a bystander, we're intervening and killing one, but if we don't throw the switch, we're only letting five die. So it seems like the distinction between killing and letting die can't help us anymore. According to our principle,
killing one is worse than letting five die.
We, as the bystander, cannot throw the switch. It's morally forbidden, but this is counterintuitive. It seems, at the very least, that we're allowed to throw the switch to kill one worker and save five, right? So does it seem right to say that you're at least allowed to throw the switch, that morality doesn't prohibit it?
Is it permissible? I would say yes. Yes, it is permissible. So if I met someone in real life that told me that that happened to them, I would say not only is that permissible, in some ways that might even be laudatory.
I don't think I'm morally required to flip the switch, but I think that if there's a possibility to take an action and to do good, I think that I am morally required to do good.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And
or do better. do less bad.
Do less bad.
So does it seem right to say that you're at least allowed to throw the switch, that morality doesn't prohibit it? It might not be right to say that we must throw the switch, but it seems at least right to say that morality doesn't forbid it, right? Darn. We were moments away from the beach, and now we're back to the drawing board. Special thanks especially to Christy Harrington, also to Bill Harrington, Owen Roth, Max Feiler, Garvey Peterson, and the inimitable Dustin Rainey. Reductio is a production of Inverted Spectrum Media. So that's just a taste of what Reductio is going to sound like. Hopefully you enjoyed it and you want to see where the analysis goes after that. I plan on completing this episode as probably episode 2 of season 1. Hopefully you can help make season 1 a reality. ¶¶